Depart in peace. Honor all men. Seek to do justice and live honestly. And carry with you the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.
Pray. Eternal God, our Father, we come into thy presence with thanksgiving, for thou art our God, and we are thy people. Cause us to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Amen. I invite your attention to the reading of God's Word found in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 and following, and 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled himself to us and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are inspired by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it.
The Off-Campus Ministries Committee serves as a liaison between the students, churches, and other institutions in planning, promoting, and coordinating off-campus ministries. We are pleased to have with us today representatives from these ministries who will inform you about the opportunities for service in their particular area.
There are four things I'd like to say this morning in the context of the Famine Relief Committee on our campus. The first of which being a question which is often posed to me. How come there aren't very many in our seminary who are interested in famine relief? I think there's a great problem in getting people interested because of two major reasons. I think the first one is priority of time, and I think the second one is a defective doctrine of man. I believe that man is a triunity, not a trichotomy. That man is created body, mind, and spirit. And that if mankind is to be reached for Christ, he must be reached in totality, in body, mind, and spirit. Therefore, hunger becomes a spiritual problem. Many people have come up to me and said that hunger just isn't a spiritual problem. It's a physical problem. It's a political problem. It's a social problem. But I think at the heart of all these problems is the spiritual nature of the situation. The second thing this morning I'd like to share with you is the purpose for our being here. Our purpose is to share God's redemptive purpose as a positive Christian witness from the more fortunate to the less fortunate. In the third place, I invite you to become part of us. We have some planned meetings scheduled for this year, and we have some mission-oriented activities. We provide an educational service, not only for students or professors or laymen or concerned pastors, but we're trying to do more in this area, and we would invite you to pursue this with us. And last, we would try to interest you in pledging your financial support. In the last place, join us in learning how to do theology. There are three things that you can do as a person this morning in becoming more interested in the Famine Relief Committee. First thing you can do is pray. The second thing you can do is join us. And the third thing you can do is to make global justice a priority in your ministry. I'd like to close by reading from the 25th chapter of Matthew from the New English Bible, verses 42 through 45. For when I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. When thirsty, nothing to drink. When I was a stranger, you gave me no home. When naked, you did not clothe me. When I was ill and in prison, you did not come to my help. And they too will reply, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison and did nothing for you? And he will answer, I tell you this, anything you did not for one of these, however humble, you did it not to me. We invite your participation as we continue the war for love, for spiritual cure, and ultimately for global justice. Thank you.
A crucial element in our growth as Christians is we share ourselves, our time, our talents, our energies. We must give of that which we have received, or else growth will cease. As Christians, we must recognize our gifts and be willing to render them in service. Often, seminarians find themselves in a position which provides no outlet for their abilities and energies other than academics. In part, Focus was designed to meet this need by providing a place of practical experience in ministry. Focus means Fellowship of Christians United in Service. Focus is a volunteer ministry which sends teams of seminary students into area churches to provide special emphasis weekends or days. Past experiences in Focus have proven to be invaluable. Individual growth has taken place. Needs of churches have been met as a result of seminary students participating in ministry. In the past, Focus has been involved in a variety of ministries, such as retreats, revivals, leadership training workshops, and special emphasis weekends or days. All students are welcome to be a part of Focus. We urge all seminary students who are not in full-time vocational ministry to give of themselves through Focus. We welcome and encourage spouses of students to also be Focus team members. Of course, we would also welcome and encourage invitations from any of you who may be serving as ministers in area churches. In the near future, Focus will have an orientation meeting, of which all of you are invited. Focus has experienced phenomenal growth last year, as we were able to serve over 40 churches and involve more than 50 seminary students or families in ministry. As we begin anew this year, we covet your prayers and participation.
For the first time on this campus this year, we are starting a high school ministry, an organized high school ministry. Right now, we are becoming organized. We have no faculty support right now, representative. And right now, I am the only one in the high school ministry as such. And so that's my purpose this morning, is to challenge some of you to participate. And being asked by Jim to speak, I tried to prepare really a purpose of the high school ministry. And to me, it's twofold. First of all, to become personal, not on a student-student relationship with Wake Forest Roseville High School students, but on a relationship of friend to friend, and meeting not only their spiritual needs, but other needs as well, physical in the way of recreation and emotional. At times, maybe we can counsel. Second, I see a purpose in becoming involved with Wake Forest, Roseville High School, and drawing a closer bond between the seminary, the high school, and Wake Forest community into a closer bond, as I've said, and bring them together. This will take part some on weekends, some on the weeks. You cannot use the excuse of distance because we're just a few hundred yards away. Time, I see, is going to be a big factor, and you'll have to make that up yourselves. Decide as to whether you will participate or not. Now, also to add this, this is not Young Life. I have had no training in Young Life, but that is not to say that I will not turn down anyone who has had Young Life experience. I welcome all interested people, anybody who has had previous experience working with high school students, are just wanting to take a challenge in working with these young people. If you see that this is not going to work for you and that you cannot give your time, then as the others have stated, at least back us with your prayers and thoughts, and I appreciate it.
The Federal Correctional Institution in Butner, North Carolina, is one of about 50 institutions in the federal system, ranging from the penitentiaries like Atlanta, Georgia, down to the CTC, community treatment centers, as we have scattered throughout the nation. The institution at Butner, you have probably heard of a lot of talk about. It is unique in its design and in its philosophy. The philosophy of the institution is based on a book entitled The Future of Imprisonment by Dr. Norval Morris, Dean of the Law School at the University of Chicago. Men at our institution will come from all over the nation. The program is unique from the standpoint that no man will be forced or compelled to be involved in any of the programs. People come in there, especially in the treatment area, program area, will either have a date upon their arrival or within 90 days after their arrival will have a parole date or a release date. They can choose after the 90 days to either go back to their former institution and will not lose their date, remain at Butner and not be involved except following a work schedule and being in one group meeting in their unit once a week. They will not lose their date either. And those who would choose to be involved in the program. For a long time, we have followed the pattern of trying to force or coerce men to be involved, and they get involved and they begin the game play, getting involved just to impress people and hopefully the parole board by all means and be released early. We hope this approach will cut down some of the game playing on both the part of the inmate and the staff. At present, we have 135 inmates. By the first of the year, we will have 350 of the 400. There are many ways in which you can be involved in our work at the institution. We have a very involved religious department. We need some persons to teach Sunday school classes, Bible courses in both Old and New Testament, to do individual and group counseling, to lead music groups, preaching opportunities. We have a lay share meeting. It meets on Thursday night. One of your students has already been involved, Michael Clark, last spring, where men, laymen, come together and meet with inmates in a sharing session for about 2 hours, putting away their, shall we say, denominational doctrines and centering in on sharing the love of God with people who are hurting. We invite you to be involved in this type of program. There are many other opportunities to be involved at the institution in both recreation and in the educational department. Our program will differ from any other institution in the nation from the standpoint that it will not only involve inmates, but it will also give staff members an opportunity to be involved in a class with inmates and people in the community. 98% of the men and women locked up in our prisons today will be released and going home. And I think we have a tremendous responsibility to try to help these men and women try to pull things together. But when they go back outside, they can make a very meaningful contribution rather than continuing to lead a life of crime. And it's my firm belief that the solution to our problems and the increased rate in crime is God. And when a volunteer comes into an institution, and that volunteer is really sincere. Let me just pause a minute and make this clear. If you come in playing a game, the inmates will recognize it right away. If you're phony, they'll recognize it right away. But if you're sincere, they will have a great deal of respect for you. My firm belief that if the rate of recidivism is to be lowered, the crime rate, we need to introduce to these people God. God is the answer. And I invite you to be a part of our program. And not only for the federal program at Butner, there are other prisons and jails in this locality that you should be concerned about and give what you can to help those men and women who are locked up, separated from society. You know, it's kind of strange. We move men away from what we call, if we can call society normal. We remove people out of society into an abnormal situation to prepare them for a normal situation, coming back to society. Thank you.
I'm here to talk to you this morning about Partners Program. And it's very much, Mr. Tyson has been talking about, the purpose of Partners is to make sure that Chaplain Tyson never sees the children that we're working with. Because many of the children that are in the Partners Program are referred to us by the juvenile court here in Wake County. So So we have children that are in the program from all over Wake County, or what is basically the Raleigh Baptist Association, in which I work for. You may have seen some signs about Partners around on campus, or you may have seen some big feet on a poster and passed it by. So if you've read that, you know a little bit of something about what it is. But it's a kind of big brother, big sister type program in which an adult sponsor, which we refer to as a senior partner, is matched with a child between the ages of 8 and 16, which we refer to as the junior partner. We ask from students at least a 9-month commitment to work with these children. Others we ask for at least a year. And we ask that you spend at least 2 to 4 hours a week with the child. Now, the time that you spend with the child is scheduled between you and the child and the family, so that you have a flexible schedule to work with. You are interviewed and discussed with as to what type of child you would like to work with, what type of situation you would not like to work in or would like to work in. And so it's a little flexible in this way in getting to choose some of the kinds of involvement that you would like to have. We have a training session for all our new volunteers on October 9. It's on a Saturday. I know some of you have weekend responsibilities, and if this is not able for you to do this at this time, some arrangements can be made there as well. You might be wondering what some of the things are that you might be getting out of this, because you as a student should be, or I'm sure are, very concerned about your learning opportunities. And I looked on the sheet at some of the gifts or abilities that they had on this sheet for you to check that you had to share, and I noticed that quite a few of these would be things in which you could develop as you worked with the youth in the Partners program. In visiting, you would be going to the home to pick up the child or to visit with the child and the child's family. You may be going into a family who is quite different from what kind of cultural background or kind of economic status in which you have been from in the past. It may be a very low-income family. It may be a very high-income family. In either place, you may be a little uneasy. Look down for witnessing, definitely, your life, and then I'm sure there would be a time in which would be some verbal witness, some very deep conversation, because these children, one of the purposes is for them to have an adult to talk with. Counseling, not only with the child, but there probably could be opportunities for you counseling with the family. And this would be counseling in which you would be able to become very involved or become very close to a family. Giving your testimony. Also, in counseling, you would get to see this child as an individual. Many of you may have worked with children or young people in groups. Perhaps it's a little difficult when you've had all of your experience in group work at seeing these as individuals. It's what some of the problems that adolescents are having growing up, and some of the difficult situations in which they find themselves. Also, if you're married, it's a good chance for you and your wife to take this on as a project together, to begin working out some of your philosophies together as to how you can minister and be a team ministry. Also, since this is flexible in your schedule, you need some time to relax too. If you take the kid out bowling, I guarantee you it'll be good therapy for you as well. But some of the benefits that we hope that will come to the child will just be those benefits that come from him having a positive adult relationship. And through many studies, we found that some of our juvenile delinquents do not have a positive adult relationship. Even if he's in a home in which the parents seem to love him, the child may not perceive that he is loved. And many times we find that children, this is the only adult relationship they have, is with parents. There are many benefits to be had there. Someone older that can listen to them, take the time to help them learn how to make decisions, and set the responsibility for those decisions. So I hope you will consider Partners, especially if it has some things to offer to you for growth, because I think that's one of the very important things. When you go out into ministry, you always think of going to help that other person, But I think in the process, we should be growing spiritually as well. Thank you.
Last but not least, I'd like to persuade each one of you in this audience that a good sample of your future ministry exists at Wake Forest Elementary School. We need tutors to befriend and give individual attention to children who are emotionally disturbed, learning disabled, or mentally retarded. They have much to teach us. Their response to your concern will be heartwarming. Through them, you will better understand the etiology of particular disturbed mental and spiritual illness that you see in adults. I have tutors who usually see two children. For this, they take an hour or an hour and a half of their time. Using materials that are provided by the teacher or learning games that I have in my office, we find that we can place you with a child of your particular interest and problem. We welcome your help. If you would phone for an appointment, I'd be glad to see you in the Benton Building, where I will interview you concerning your interest and match you with an appropriate needy child. Thank you.
To each of these individuals who have shared part of their ministries with us, I'd like to thank them on behalf of the off-campus ministries and on behalf of the seminary. They will be down front at the end of the service if you would like to talk with them further about any one of these particular ministries. At this time, I'd like for us to join together in a time of celebration of our talents. I'd like for us to do this by taking the form that you received when you came into the chapel this morning and checking the talents that God has given you, and by also checking any ministry, any one of these ministries that you might be interested in serving in. Bev Jessup and Al Beard will be at the back of the chapel at the end of the service to take these forms up, and we would appreciate your cooperation in this. We realize that many of you already have full-time ministries and don't want you to feel any pressure to respond to any of these, but if you can, we feel like you would receive a blessing yourself as well as these particular ministries. Let us now then be in a spirit of prayer as we celebrate our talents and ask for God's guidance in our decisions. May the God of peace guide, protect, and sustain each of you today and always. Amen.